paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about
436 here on WGN.
This is a great segment for us.
Get this is going to be interesting.
Education in.
That's Violetta Podramatic. I'm Kevin Powell. In for Dave Plyer. Thank you to Dave Plyer for letting us sit in for him. Really excited about this because my Sunday mornings used to be spent with the great Dean Richards, but of course also the great Dave Schwann, who's continuing to get set up in the newsroom. I think I
just turned off a computer screen. Ah, there we
classic.
Go.
Classic. Dave Schwann. I was just reminiscing about the days
I
of... it was Dean. It was pretty much Dean, you, and me here
we
at the stations on Sunday
fun,
mornings.
Man.
We really did.
We had
and
a
I know
lot
you guys still do.
We do. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. You, Dave Schwann.
Millennials want to deal with the old man here. Huh?
We need a little education.
So I'm going to try not to completely butcher this segment because I know it's
no,
a Dave Plyer staple, and you're involved with this, Dave, and we'll get your thoughts on some of these momentous days and years.
I wasn't
years.
There for a lot of them.
I know you weren't. Some of these date back to 1776 here.
No, not
you weren't
quite.
There?
No.
So this is our, or I shouldn't say our, this is Dave Plyer's This Week in History segment, which I hear is quite the hit, and we're looking forward to getting to it. But it all starts, and I hope I'm doing this right here, but we're going to run through a few things that happened this week in history, beginning in 1776. The first U.S. fraternity, Pi Beta Kappa, at William and Mary College formed. Did you know that, Dave Schwann?
I did not. I was not a frat boy.
Neither was I.
Can you believe that I was in a sorority?
Yeah, I could believe
you. You're like extremely
I
sorority.
I could believe that. Yes.
Do you guys think they were doing beer bongs and keg stands at the fraternity in 1776?
Probably not to that point, but there was some drink that was consumed. We'll put it that way.
Well, good for them.
Were they doing beer back then? Was that?
They've been making beer for 1,000 years, literally.
It's
yeah.
always so been the
beer is,
choice of beverage
it's
of choice.
Nothing new, or maybe a good bourbon or something like that. A rye whiskey.
All right. I'm sure they still had fun. Fraternities know how to have fun.
Yes, they
and
do.
I don't think women went to college back then, so that's why it was a fraternity.
That's right. Well, that's why there were so many what they used to call all men's schools. You know, the notion of a co-ed school is not that old when you think about it. You know, you're right, Violetta. You know, a lot of women did not go to college. The woman's place was in the home, as they used to say.
Craziness.
Now I'm showing my age here using phrases like that.
1818, Illinois becomes a 21st state.
Wow.
That I knew. That
you
I
did
knew.
Know that.
Yes, that I knew. And I'll tell a quick story here. I've talked to a Dave about this as well in the past. If you go way, 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 way down south to the southern border of Illinois, right almost before you get into Kentucky, you will find a little town called Old Shawneetown.
Okay.
The first state bank in Illinois was there. The building still stands. It's
wow.
They've tried to renovate it and everything else. Just kind of a historic site, you know, but nothing has come of it. But that bank goes back a very, very long way, probably to the early or mid 1830s.
How do you know this?
I've been in
You've
the
been
area.
There?
I've been down there. I
you
did
used
a
bank there.
Yeah, I used to. I opened up my first checking account there. Yes.
Do you think back then they said Illinois? They left the S on?
No, they probably said something like Illinois because it's a French word.
Really?
Ew,
yeah.
We're so Illinois. Fancy.
It's a French word.
That stands for what?
I mean, it was something about the superiority of men over something or other. Yeah, it's a French word. We have to look that up.
Cool. I didn't know out. That.
But, we are pretty
anyway,
superior here.
The yeah, bank no story. Deal. The bank story is that. Early on, when Chicago, in the early days, maybe even before it was incorporated as a city, a group of investors went down to that bank and wanted to borrow money. And they were turned down because they said nothing could ever come of a municipality that far north.
Oh, wow.
We did okay. It's a pretty sweet town.
I think so, yeah.
Do you know this, Dave Schwann? 1878, first White House telephone installed. Solid sound effect right there.
Someone's calling Donald Trump.
No, he would be tweeting them.
Yeah, he's not going to answer, hopefully.
He would be tweeting them. I think it was Rutherford B. Hayes was president at the time.
Huh.
1878.
Not even sure I knew he was president before.
Yeah.
1903, The Great Train Robbery, the first Western film released.
Now, have you guys seen that movie?
I cannot say
I didn't
say
even
that
know they had moving pictures. And, you know, that seems...
It is at once hilarious, and when you think about what all that was going on, you know, the technology that they had in 1903, there are a couple of action shots in there where the guys are chasing each other on the train.
CGI?
Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Yeah. When you think that it's over 100 and some years ago now.
They did 3D?
No.
IMAX?
No 3D. And it's in black and white, I hate to tell you.
Oh man.
Boy. Oh, boy. 1913, first drive-up gasoline station. Interesting.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay.
1950, Paul Harvey, legend, begins his national radio broadcast. Of course, he spent many of those years right here on WGN.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout.
Legendary. You've heard that once or twice, correct, Dave Schwann?
Oh, yeah. And they used it in a commercial during a Super Bowl game a couple
yes,
of years ago.
I remember that. What can you tell us about Paul Harvey that I feel like I know a little bit about him, of course, working here at WGN, but what do you know about him? Maybe something Violetta and I wouldn't know.
He worked, I believe, for ABC Radio early on, and that's why, you know, ultimately he was syndicated by ABC. I grew up actually listening to Paul Harvey on WLS.
Okay.
WLS carried him, and it was an ABC station. Roger's coaching me here with this because we're all of the same generation here. But I have I do have vivid memories of riding the bus to school, and it was I think the seven between 7:55 and 8 a.m. is when they would carry him. We're half asleep on the bus.
And that farmer he was talking about in that clip, was that Orion Samuelson?
I don't know if it was Orion or not, but it was a farmer. It was, you know, speaking about the farmers and the great people that they, you know, that they are and what they do for us.
Very cool stuff. I love hearing the old clippings from whether it was here at WGN or any of the old radio stuff.
But the amazing thing about Paul Harvey is his delivery, how he could hold your attention. I used to love to listen to the segment he did called The Rest of the Story, just to see who he was talking about.
Very cool.
Really, really
well,
amazing.
Well, just from listening to that, strong voice, obviously, gripping. You're not going to turn that off when he's talking.
He really knew how to deliver a story.
All right, we're doing again This Week in History. Moving on, 1951, Dragnet premieres.
Just the facts, man.
See, of course, I don't know much about it. My crime shows all started sort of the Law and Order type things.
I liked Cops. Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
Yeah, that was always fun, too. But this is, of course, the intro.
On both versions. In the early days, Roger is nodding his head again. And in the early 50s. And then it came back in the mid to late 60s.
Okay.
And that's when he was, every so often, Officer Joe Friday would get off on his... talks about don't do drugs.
Right.
Yeah, they're not cool.
Hugs, not drugs, kids.
Right.
1954, the first Burger King is opened in Miami, Florida. I didn't know it started in Miami, Florida.
Yes, it did.
Wow. We got a little clip here, Joey Gelman, of one of their early commercials for Burger King.
Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way.
Oh, well, in that case, could I have the other Whopper with extra ketchup?
Sure. We can serve your Broadbeef Whopper fresh with everything on top.
Violetta's even dancing to this.
It's catchy.
Have it your way.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way to do things. Our way.
Have it your way. Have it your way.
And they still have the same motto.
That was a
have it your way.
That was about mid 1970s there. When they first started nationally, they would advertise, and there was a little king with a robe and crown and a wand dancing around making the burgers.
Man, I miss Burger King. You know, I gave up fast food. That was my New Year's resolution, Dave. I hadn't budged all year.
Oh, good for you.
I don't like Burger
King. That's why you've lost the weight, man.
Yeah, it helped. No question about it. But I do really miss Taco Bell. The five-layer burrito, I miss you. And I miss McDonald's breakfast the most, too.
I could never give up McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Were you ever a Wendy's guy?
I ate it all, Dave. You remember. You remember my old eating habits here around the station. If there was food, I was eating it. Fast food and me were like best friends.
I get a little emotional thinking about it. I miss it. I miss you, McDonald's.
All right, sorry to bring that up. Get a little deep there with my fast food thoughts. Moving on to this week in history. Our Lady of Angels School here in Chicago, that horrific fire killing 92 students and three nuns.
I was two, and I don't remember it, but the fact that was, I read a fascinating book on it called To Sleep with the Angels. If you can find that book, it's you need a strong stomach, actually. It is not for the faint of heart to realize what happened, and apparently that no one was ever tried or convicted on that fire. Evidently, it was a person in a school who was a person that was fascinated with fire and set fire to some papers in a wastebasket and did it in a hallway where it was a perfect setup for a draft where the fire took off. And one of the things is that the walls were not concrete block or steel. They were wood.
Wow.
And that's what happened. Mm. This is also one reason why you see most, if not all, school buildings built since then. Concrete block, steel, fire-resistant materials.
Mm-hmm. I believe we have a clip from old news reports from here on WGN. Is that correct?
Tragedy struck a Catholic parochial school just 18 minutes before classes were to be dismissed for the day.
In 1958... 92 children and three teaching nuns died in a fire at Our Lady of the Angels School in Chicago. It was a fire that shocked the world. It led to a nationwide reform of fire safety in schools. But only in the light of the work of human behavior experts can that afternoon's events be fully understood. There was no way out for Matt and his 50 classmates.
Well, yeah, as you heard some in there and then...
So what's interesting about this,
Leonard Baldy?
What's his name? Yeah.
Leonard Baldy.
Be nice down there now.
He was the city's first helicopter traffic reporter, and he was right here on WGN. And a lot of the reports actually came from him. He helped a lot of the people, if I remember this correctly from what I read, he helped a lot of the ambulances and police get to the students and get to the school. And since he was the only one in the air... He had a so good.
GN was one of the first to have traffic reporters. Interesting. Horrible, obviously, story, but interesting to hear some of those old news clippings as well.
You know what's amazing to think is that in 2 years, that's going to be 60 years since that fire. Yeah. I interviewed a woman who was a student there for the 50th anniversary, and she lost a cousin or a relative in that fire. So, you know, this touched everyone. And just to add very quickly, it was an international story. I was doing some research on it, went to the library, and even at the height of the Cold War, the Soviet Union was reporting it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about the
Soviet newspapers.
The impact it had moving forward architecturally, of course. I mean, that's why all the schools are,
Right. That's why there's, you know, they're block and steel and concrete.
And they look strong and resistant and things like that, so... That's a part of this week here in history. But moving on to our number six on the list from 1963. What do we have here? It's The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, released by Andy Williams. Is that correct, Joey? There it is.
That's Dave's favorite Christmas album.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Andy Williams Christmas album.
He played this throughout the show on Thursday. No, I'm kidding. Oh. He played it Thursday and Friday. He loves this album.
Didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Can't beat the Christmas music.
It's the number one.
I heard you singing along down there, Violetta, earlier. Why not, you know?
Billboard magazine ranks It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year the number 5 best holiday song of all time. It's got to be. How is it not number 1? I'd like to see that list.
Did you not see my list?
Yes, I did, but that's not the official one I was looking for. Also on this list, this week in history, 1971, Cubs release Ernie Banks as a player and sign him as a coach. I'm not going to lie, Dave, I didn't know that they ever signed him as a coach.
Yeah.
Was it a short stint?
For a while. Pretty short. He also did sports for GNTV.
Is that right? Ernie Banks did.
Yes.
I was extremely lucky. Ernie Banks was here at this fine radio station probably my first year I was here. It was 4 or 5 years ago.
I never had a chance to meet him, and he's my hero.
I saw him at a bar once.
It was unbelievable. He came into the station. He's waiting to do an interview. I can't remember who it was at the time. Whoever was doing the interview with Mr. Banks was running late that day, and I was sort of producing at the time, and I saw him and brought him into one of the studios. And he couldn't have been nicer. He asked me to grab him a Sun-Times and a Tribune. I brought him the papers. I said, do you want any coffee or anything? He said, I'll take a cup of coffee. I came back. He was reading all the sports sections. And he came back and he asked me to sit down with him. And me and him talk sports for like 10, 15 minutes while he read the paper, drank coffee. And we just kind of shot the breeze and waited for the interview. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yep.
So lucky to have had a chance to have met him.
He was. I'm so glad I was able to watch him at least on TV as a player, because those were just great, great times, great memories. And of course, you know, you both know that, you know, now that the Cubs have won the World Series, there's so much talk about the fact that Ernie wasn't here to see it. Ron Santo wasn't here to see it. Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey. But
I'm sure they were watching.
They were with us in spirit. You can bet on that.
They really were. Moving on this week in history, 1982, Michael Jackson releases Thriller, absolute jam.
I bought that.
Did you?
Believe it or not.
Dave. Was Dave Schwann, newsman, a Michael Jackson fan, or is he still a Michael Jackson fan?
That album I liked, and I liked the one that came out before it, Off the Wall. And full disclosure here, I even bought a couple of Jackson 5 records when I was a teenager.
Can you moonwalk?
No, I can't do that. I can do the curly shuffle, but I can't moonwalk.
Violetta, I'm sure you've
I've practiced the moonwalk.
Danced to some Michael Jackson in your day?
Yeah.
Considering you were dancing to a Burger King commercial song from 1975.
It was catchy.
Doesn't take
was
much to get Violetta moving.
Was she all around the studio? Or
no,
just
it's the chair
the
dancing.
Chair
just kind of a shimmy and move her hands around.
It's more in the facial
shaking
expressions.
Her shoulders. Yeah, it was sort of dramatic, like you were in some sort of like highbrow dancing club or something. It was wonderful. 1987, this week in history, Mayor Harold Washington found dead in his office.
My sad responsibility to let you know that Mayor Washington was pronounced dead this afternoon at 1:36. He suddenly... In general chit-chat about this morning's press, he slumped to one side.
Dave, I know you probably have a lot on this, correct? What can you tell us about Mayor Washington?
As a matter of fact, I can, and there is someone here that can tell you even more about it, and that is Roger, who is working. You have a microphone handy there, Roger?
Okay. He's on. We can hear him.
Just tell him to yell really loud. It'll pick it up
all,
eventually.
I've got all of them.
He can go up
here
to sports back there if he'd like.
No, I can remember that coming out of the blue, and there were some reporter friends of mine that were working at City Hall at the time that were saying, their sources are telling us that Mayor Washington has passed away, and I'm crossing my fingers because they were friends of mine. I'm going, please be right.
Yeah.
what I mean by that was, you know, if they were wrong, well, you know, that was...
That would have been, yeah.
Very, very rough for them, but as it turns out, it will. But anyway, Roger was working at and around City Hall at that time. Roger,
well,
tell us about it.
I had already left working for Harold Washington. I worked for him for about 2.5 years. And so I was already gone from there and working in public relations with another company at the time of his death. But the person who was just making those announcements, Alton Miller, was his press secretary, who I worked for his several months before I left. So
wow.
Knew Harold Washington, and I've got pictures on my Facebook page, been to his apartment, and great guy.
So what was it like in the city, though, when this news hit?
She asked what it was like in the city. Well, there was it was a state of shock. It was a day or two before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And what I meant was for the reporters when I said that I hoped that they had the information correct was, you know.
You can't mess that
you
up.
Don't, right. You don't write. That story is, you know, the importance of that, the significance of that. You know, you want your information correct. You want your facts correct. But, Roger, I'm correct, though, in saying that it was a gloomy atmosphere.
Oh, extremely.
And the visitation, there was a public visitation for the mayor. His body lay in state in City Hall, in the main hallway.
Wow.
When you go into City Hall, that's where the visitation took place.
That's
almost day and night, actually.
Yeah. Lines around the building.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Dave and Roger. I know Roger can't hear us; doesn't have headphones
right,
on. I
they
believe.
Say thank you.
thank you for sharing this your wisdom with us two crazy millennials down here in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
You're incredibly
Dave.
Wide awake, but you're very young, so you can take it.
This was great. Learned a lot here this week on history. Having a blast filling in for Dave Plyer. Thank you, Dave Schwann. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back with Walter's perspective and wrap things up.